thank you for being in church. If you're watching by streaming tonight, I want you to know we are delighted you're watching. I say that knowing that some do watch because they tell us from time to time in various places, in fact, in a lot of different states. Besides here, I know some of our members, one of our good church families sent me a little email about a week ago showing that, in fact, we were having the Lord's Supper and showing how they were physically unable to come anymore here with us to have the Lord's Supper, but how they prepare the Lord's Supper right there in their room, and they move right along with us. And I thought, bless God for the opportunity of having streaming. Now, for those of us who are here, if you'll open your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to be there in a moment. I want to talk tonight about two powerful words. I was interested this morning. John was kind of promoting my sermon tonight, and he acted as though nobody knew what those words were. And I said, son, if you'd have just read my introduction in the bulletin, I told what the words were. So obviously he wasn't thinking about my sermon. He was thinking about his, and I'm glad because he did an outstanding job with his sermon this morning. But I think two of the most powerful words in the English language are the words thank you. The power of those two words is really unbelievable. And I just share what I think to be right, and you can agree or not agree, but I'm going to say that I don't think people today are as thankful as people used to be. Now, that doesn't mean we're a bunch of bad people. It's just that it seems like years ago, people were more thankful than they are today. There seems to be a whole new cultural mindset. And yet, those two little words, thank you, are just unbelievably powerful. I was yesterday in the two funerals, one of the funerals, in fact, the one that was here. John and I were coming out of the chapel to work our way back over to the church offices, and we bumped into Dr. Cowles, Dr. Charles Cowles, his wife Jennifer, very faithful members of our church. He's an anesthesiologist at MD Anderson, and he really just is just a blessing to our church in many ways, but he looked kind of sleepy looking to me, and I asked him, I said, are you okay? You know, that's always a bad way to start a conversation. Are you okay? It implies they don't look okay. And he said, well, matter of fact, I've just returned from England. Jet lag. He didn't use those words, but I understand how that works. And I said, well, what in the world were you doing in England? He said, well, it's interesting. He said, I went to a conference, a convention of medical people from all over the world, had met at Liverpool, England, or met in Liverpool, England, and evidently they had different speakers talking about how in medicine there are certain things that they can do to be good leaders and accomplish what they need to accomplish. And he'd asked me about my sermon, and I mentioned what I was preaching, and that's what got this conversation going. And he said there was a brigadier general that spoke in one of the sessions, and this brigadier general was saying to all these medical people that the same principles that work in the military in leadership will work in medicine in leadership. It will work in any area of leadership. And what her subject was the power of simply saying thank you. Now, this is a brigadier general. And she went on to say that she had made it a practice that when she heard of anyone in the military that she was over in some way, they might be a long way from her, but nonetheless, if she heard where they did something that was beyond what was expected, that she would always immediately just take her pen and write a handwritten thank you note. And she said sometimes it might take weeks before that note got to the people because they might be at some distant place. She said, I prefer this over all this emails of saying thank you. And she was encouraging the medical people to understand the power of just saying thank you. She said it can be done in 20 or 30 seconds. You can just write a little quick little thank you note. Well, you know, thank you notes are very powerful. And what I'm talking about tonight is not so that you'll send me thank you notes. That's not the deal. It's interesting for 2 weeks, I've known what I was going to be dealing with tonight, the power of those two words, thank you. And I started out saying, you know, people are not as thankful they used to be. This week, interestingly, I've been somewhat bombarded with thank you notes. And I thought, maybe I'm preaching the wrong sermon. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, I just have in my hand, here's a little thank you note. Said, Dr. Redmond, thank you for being part of Mom's memorial service. More than that, thank you for your impact on her life. And I didn't count those words, but not very many words. I'm telling you what, you talk about being a blessing to think that in some way that I've been some kind of blessing to that person's life. And then here's a thank you note that actually came from an employee of the church about something relating to their work. And then as recent as today, a thank you note that is very precious. I'll hang on to all these notes. Now, you know, I say that not so people will write me thank you notes. That's not the whole point. The point is, I need to be writing more thank you notes. I need to be more thankful. And I think we would all agree tonight that we could probably do better than what we do. Could I have an amen to that? I mean, it's not that we don't appreciate. It's just, here's the bottom line. We don't even think about it. That's the sad part. We do not even think about it. And the question is, why did we not? And I think the answer is in the book of Deuteronomy. If you'll open your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy and turn over in chapter number 6. I want to read some verses. Now, a little quick background, this book of Deuteronomy, it's not the kind of book you're going to run home and read every day, but it's a great book. You know, the book of Deuteronomy, the name Deuteronomy very simply means second law. Or that word Deuteronomy means repetition of the law. In other words, God had given the laws to his people that we read about in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Now, when we come to the book of Deuteronomy, and that word means the second law, what God did through his servant Moses is he gave some application. He expounded with application on these laws because his people were on the eve of going into the promised land. And God wanted them to understand some things that they would need to understand, remember, and obey when they got into the promised land, that while they were out wandering in the wilderness on their way, may not have registered. What God really seems to be doing, because really the book of Deuteronomy is a book of farewell sermons from Moses, the 120-year-old leader of the children of God. And, of course, he's not going to get into the promised land, but those he's led now that are still living, they are. And God wants them to learn from the bad and sad example of their parents. And so that's what this book is all about. So look with me in Deuteronomy in chapter 6. Let me read a few verses and we'll work our way to the answer. Why do most of us not think about being as thankful as we should? And I know I'm on that list. Well, now look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. They're about now to enter the promised land. It goes on to say that you may fear the Lord. That's an interesting little phrase in the Bible. You may wish to underline that. In your bulletin, let me just give you a way of understanding what it means when the Bible says fear the Lord. It means that because you respect God's ways as revealed in God's Word, that you choose His opinion over anybody else. That's a long way of getting there, but that is, I want you to get that, because so many times in the Bible we are told, fear the Lord. Doesn't mean we're to be afraid of God. It means that we are to respect the ways of God as revealed in the Word of God so that we choose His opinion over anybody else. That's a tremendous, tremendous thing in God's Word, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, verse 4, you might want to mark verse 4. The Jewish people do something very special. It's called the Shema. And where do you find it? You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And every morning and every night, devout Jews, not all Jews, but devout Jews are going to, by memory, recite the Shema. And the word Shema, it's a Hebrew word, and it simply means hear, hear. And you see it in verse 4. Hear. If we were reading from a Hebrew Bible, we would read the word Shema. In English, translated, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In their day, that was a big problem. There were many gods. Now, we don't live in their day. We live in our day. And hear me, we have many more gods. You know, we read the Old Testament and think, how in the world could these people have all these other gods? Folks, it's a sermon for another time, and I'm not going there tonight. But in my life, I've never seen things become actual gods to people that I see today being gods to people. And even though I say I'm not going there, I'll go a little there. Can I just go a little there? We have made sports a god. We really have. And I love sports as much as anyone here. But I mean, many professing Christians, if they have a choice between God and sports, that's where they're going every single time. And the sad thing about the whole thing is they are not even aware of it. But it's not just sports. It's an endless number of things. And so we wrestle with the very same thing that they wrestle with. It's just our gods are different. Our gods are different. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and as they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now we come to verse 10. The Bible says, so it shall be. Moses is speaking now. This is the old prophet of God talking to the children of God. They're about to go into the promised land. He says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. Now here it comes. Here comes the answer. This is what I honestly believe is why we don't think about being more thankful than we really should think about, much less express it. But here it comes. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I wish in verse 11 and the beginning of verse 12, if you underline in your Bible that little phrase, I think I'm going to build my Thanksgiving messages this whole month that I preach around that little phrase. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord. Would you agree with me that in America we are a blessed people? Could I have an amen? We really are. Like, you know, I've always had everything I needed plus more. And most all of you'd say the very same thing. We are a blessed people, living not in a perfect land, but we live in a land that is a very great place to live. And what's happened to us in all of our blessings, this is right here is what's happened to us. We've eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord. Now, let me do this tonight and we'll have a whole month of my part of the preaching to talk about it. But let me begin by saying, of course, this is talking here about food, and so I'll just start there. We need to say thank you to God for our food. Now, we don't think about that much. Oh, we say a blessing. I would think most all of us say a blessing before we eat. We do. But I mean really to be thoughtful and thankful and grateful for our food. But actually, we have great examples. Turn me over to the Gospel of John, if you will, in chapter number 6. Jesus is one of our examples in John chapter 6. And I'll wait a moment for you to get there. And as you're journeying to John chapter 6, you read about Jesus feeding the 5,000 men plus women and children. But if you look down in verse 11, John chapter 6, verse 11, and we're thinking about being thankful to God for our food. And Jesus was, in John chapter 6, verse 11, it says, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, there it is, his disciples distributed them to He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. The point I make is, here Jesus is, and he's about to feed the people. And what does he do? He gives thanks for the food. Now, turn, it won't be much, but turn over in the book of Acts. You'll be the very next book. And turn over in Acts chapter 27. For the Apostle Paul is a tremendous example. Acts chapter 27, and I at least want you to see the verse. Acts chapter 27. It's a long chapter. Time won't let us read the chapter, but it's all about a voyage that the Apostle Paul had out at sea on his way to Rome. And it was not a good trip. All kind of bad things happened, storms. He just got in all these kind of problems. But as you go over in Acts chapter 27, if you look down in verse 32, it says, and as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. They thought this was all going to be drowned and killed. And then in verse 35, it says, he, and when Paul had said these things, he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. So I know we say blessings, but like many people today, they couldn't thank God for much food because in the world, and even in America, there are many people that don't have what they need to eat. Last year, over 1 million children in the world died from hunger. And it's also a sad thing, hungry people in the world. See, we don't think like this because none of us are hungry. We're all too full. You know, we've had a big Sunday lunch. And we've snacked this afternoon or whatever. There's nothing wrong with having a big Sunday lunch, but we just need to remember that everybody didn't have a big Sunday lunch today. Hungry people in the world exceeds the population of the United States, Canada, and the European Union combined. Now you say, well, those are people out there somewhere else. Well, you know, that is a true statement, but yet there are people in our own land that are hungry people, and we just are a blessed people. And you know, I don't want to beat myself up because, you know, I'm blessed and have food to eat. But I do want to be grateful because I'm blessed and have food to eat. And that's something I want to work at this Thanksgiving month. And I would just encourage you to join me. Just thank God for the food you have. And just be appreciative to Him. And, you know, nothing I don't think pleases God more than for us to say thank you. Let me ask you, if you do something for somebody and they'd ever thank you, how do you like that? I have one person in mind now. There was this waitress at a place that waited on us, and she was going to get married. I didn't know her. She waited our table a lot, but she told us about her wedding, and Dottie and I talked about it, and we said, well, we don't really know her at all, but she probably needs a little help, and no big deal. We got a little card and put a $50 bill in it. And one day while she was waiting on us, we said, hey, we want to give you a little card for your wedding. Well, she got married, and she waited on us time and time again. She never said a word about it. And I thought, my gracious, that's not a very grateful woman. And I was telling that to a friend. He said, it's interesting you tell me that. And he said, I did the same thing, except I put a $100 bill in my card, and she never thanked me either. And he said, I'm not mad about it. He said, how are you doing? I said, well, I've changed tables where she doesn't wait on me anymore. So, but, you know, I thought, you know, you give somebody a $50 thing, they ought to write you, at least say thank you, you have to write me a note. Another guy gives $100. Wonder what the Heavenly Father thinks. As much as he's blessed me, and as few times as I've just said thank you back for not just food, but for anything and everything. But let me mention one other thing tonight. We need to not only say thank you, God, for our food. We need to say thank you to God that Christ is our righteousness. Boy, I wish you'd jot that one down. John preached a powerful sermon last Sunday morning as we were remembering Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. It was all about this very matter here. I want you to look with me, turn over in 2 Corinthians. You're close. Just flip over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's be sure you have the verse marked. You know, boy, here's something we need to thank God for, that Christ is our righteousness. And I'll show you how this becomes a very personal thing in a moment. But here's the verse. I quote it often, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. But look with your eyes. It says, God made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, listen. Turn back with me in Isaiah. I want you to be sure you have this verse marked. Turn back in Isaiah in the Old Testament in chapter 64. In Isaiah chapter number 64. Because we need to understand that all our righteousness to God is like filthy rags. But I want to show you something in that verse. In Isaiah chapter 64, look in verse 6. I don't know what translation you have. But the two or three I checked, the word I'm going to show you, it was the same in each one of them. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, but we're all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, plural. Look at that. Not all of our righteous, but all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Wow. That's a, you know, you stop and think about that. See, that's the whole deal about the Protestant Reformation that we've just finished talking about, is that the church was teaching that to be right with God, you do this, you do this, and you do this. And today, much of that's being taught. And all that is, it's just all of our righteousnesses, plural. They're like filthy rags to God. The good news is, and how thankful we are, we certainly want to be doing what we should do. But the bottom line is, we're made right with God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it is His righteousness, not our righteousness, that saves us. It is His righteousness that will be the difference between when we breathe our last breath in this life and step out into eternity. And yet, so many people, they're so busy with all their righteousnesses. But to God, it's like filthy rags. Turn with me in Philippians chapter 3. We'll look at one other verse, a little portion of Scripture. It's a wonderful thing that Paul discovered that his righteousness was not the way to God. Turn in Philippians chapter number 3, if you'll do that. In Philippians chapter 3, I want you to look with me in verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. And when I read these verses, Paul is sharing what he discovered. He says, though, in verse 4, I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, Paul said, I more so. He said, I head the list. And he tells why. Circumcised the eighth day, That's what they taught the Jewish people they were to do. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. He said, man, look at all these things. At one time, I thought this was how you became right with God. It says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But then he said, but what things were, that's past tense, gain. That's talking about profit. What things were gain or profit to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You see, I want to encourage you this Thanksgiving month. Be sure on your Thanksgiving list you have some way of saying it. God, I want to thank you that my righteousness is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't have to try to do anything to work my way to heaven, to earn my way to heaven. Jesus has paid it all. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but I want to encourage you tonight, if you don't have a better way of doing it, maybe this might be. I'm having, and I've done this other years as well, but I'm doing a brand new fresh one. I'm not looking back what I did in the past. I have a little list I'm calling my 2017 November Thanksgiving list. Now, what I've done, I really function with several Bibles, but this is my Bible that I read in my own Bible reading most every day. It's the NIV. And so this is kind of one of my main Bibles. Now, one of my main preaching Bibles, I have several, is this other Bible. It's the New King James. But I just went back over in one of the blank pages in the back of this Bible, and I have written my 2017 November Thanksgiving list. Now, I've encouraged you to have a Thanksgiving list. And each day this month, just jot down, you might can do it in one word, but maybe a little phrase, something you are thankful for. And I encourage you, don't try to worry about what you said, number one, two, or three, or four. No, no. Number 30, well, number one is going to have to be number one, but these other things, I don't try to prioritize them in order of importance. I just jot them down. Now, it's easy for you to get with me on this because this is just the fifth. So if you've not started, easy. You can catch up before you go to bed tonight. Just get your little booklet or prayer journal, blank page in your Bible or whatever, and every day just think of something that you are thankful for and write it down. Now, the good of this, I've done this in years past, the good of this comes about mid-month. Like, it's easy the first half of the month, but the second half of the month, you have to kind of begin to think, and that's the good part. And what that does, it lets you see how broad God's blessings really are. Now, I'm going to just share with you. It's Sunday night. I'm not going to belabor these things, but I'm going to share with you what I've jotted down these first 5 days. You could guess number one would be salvation. Let's just all raise our hand on that. That has to be the top of our list. But when I wrote that down in my mind, I remembered as a little boy telling my mother what I felt at church. And she talked to me a little, and she said, I think we need to get the pastor to talk to you. And I was thinking about all that. He came to our home on Saturday and sat down, and that, you don't hear that long story. But when I wrote that, but I'm thankful I'm saved. Folks, as best I can understand, and Dr. Cowles is here, maybe he learned something different in Liverpool, England, but we're all going to die. Y'all not with me in this sermon? I said, my gracious, Pastor, I wish I'd stayed home. Well, I'm glad you didn't. But we are all going to die. And the older I get, the more aware I am that I'm going to finally die. We'll all die if Jesus tarries. But we'll only die in the flesh. Amen? But the good news is I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I hope you know you're saved. Be thankful for your salvation. My number two thing on the list is family. I'm thankful to God for my family. Now, we don't have a very big family, but I'm thankful to God for my family. And even the family that's now with the Lord. I've been very blessed. On the third day of this month, I wrote down, I'm thankful to God for my health, my physical health. I'm blessed. And I don't take that for granted. I hope you don't take your health for granted. I hope you've let God know that. I'm afraid I have not let God know that as much as I should. Then number four, this was yesterday, I thank God he called me into the ministry. Now I just have call. That's all I wrote down in my Bible, call, C-A-L-L. My purpose in life. Well, you have a purpose in life, whatever it might be. I hope you found it. I hope you've not gotten to the end of life and never figured out why you're here. For me, it was ministry. But for Dr. Cowles, it's medicine. Everybody, God has a purpose for everybody. It's not to be a minister or a medical doctor. It's whatever God's purpose was and is. But I wrote that down. Then today, number five. Are y'all interested in this at all? You want me just to quit? I just have one more to go. Today, is this boring? Am I becoming senile in my latter years? Well, I'll tell you my number five. And I thought about today as we were doing this radio program. If you're not listening on Sunday morning to our radio program, John decided in November we would do a special program, he and I together, in an interview deal. And part of that was, I listened to it today. But I'm thankful to God for my preparation for the ministry. And under that, I wrote two little bullets. Seminary. One word. Now, by that, I thought of many professors that have truly impacted my life. And then under that bullet, I wrote Travis Avenue. I talked about that on the radio program this morning. The 3 years that I was blessed to serve under Dr. James Coggin and what those 3 years meant in my life and still mean in my life, words can't explain. So that was kind of, that got me through today, and being you all are so enthusiastic about this, would you like to know what I'm going to write down tomorrow? Well, I've already written it down. Yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to be thanking God for the churches where I've served as pastor or staff member. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow. And now that, it's just two words, churches, pastor, but I'll be a while on that. Because I could go, I'll go back in my mind to the very first place. And then the three churches after seminary, of course, Travis. Now, this may sound corny to y'all, but I tell you, it's not corny to say, God, thank you. Could I have an amen to that? I want to encourage you. Look, it's November the 5th, and you say, I don't think that'll do me. You will write me a thank you note, I believe, if you try this. You say, I don't want to write you a thank you note. Well, send me an email. See me in the commons. Don't do anything. I tell you what, it'll bless you. It'll make this month beyond anything you might imagine. Now, having said that, what about tonight? You know, it well may be right here on Sunday night that one way you could say thank you to God is to say, God, you know, I've kind of been dependent on my righteousnesses. I go to church on Sunday night. I go to church on Wednesday. I do this. I do that. Well, folks, let me tell you what. It might be tonight the way you would say thank you to God would be say, God, I thank you that you made it where I don't pay my own sin debt. The blood of Jesus pays my sin debt. It could be here tonight some folks could say thank you to God by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and make me a Christian. I'll tell you what else. It could be tonight some here tonight could say thank you to God by coming for your baptism. We see this almost every week. And what a beautiful time as we begin this month. Others tonight, it could be the way you could say thank you to God tonight would be saying, you know what? I need to actually put my life in the church. Belong. Be part of the church. Not only just come here and worship, but let this be a place from which I can go and serve. So I want you to bow with me, heads bowed and hearts open to the Lord. Father, we just bow here tonight. And God, I know nothing thrills my soul more than for one of our sons, John or Joel, to say, Dad, thank you. I mean, it's just like adrenaline going in my body. And then, God, I hold these little cards, these three that I have that were written to me just this week. It didn't take these people long to write these cards. There's no way they would ever understand it. I saw a situation yesterday where Charlie Joe and Joel Jr. had written a man a little thank you note because Saturday a week ago he bought them some cookies at Panera Bread. And they wrote him a little note. Charlie Joe drew a rainbow on it. And they gave it to him yesterday, and I never saw a man so excited. And I just thought how simple it is. A little child can just write a thank you note for a cookie, and it just thrills a man to death. And then I thought, oh, what does the Heavenly Father think? The Heavenly Father, God, help us to remember to be a thankful people. Now, God, tonight, if in this room or watching by streaming, some have trusted in their righteousnesses, plural, God, they need tonight to say, God, thank you. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm putting my faith and trust in shed blood of Jesus Christ. God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a Christian. God, other decisions tonight. This would be a beautiful way tonight to end this day by coming to the front of your church. And by so doing, say, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Thy will be done in these moments is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.